when we hear that word, repent, we think of some wild-eyed preacher standing on a street corner with a floppy Bible in one hand, and with his other hand he's pointing an accusing finger at you while screaming, repent and sin no more. I'm reminded of a time a man decided to paint his house. The owner of the hardware store told him he needed 10 gallons of paint for the job, but the man wanted to save money, so he bought only 5 gallons of paint, and he foolishly added some water to it to make it go farther. But after he started covering this house with his diluted paint, he realized it didn't look very good at all. So disgusted, he said to himself, oh God, show me how to fix this. To his surprise, God opened the heavens and responded by saying, repaint and sin no more. Now that silly story reminds us of a sad reality. You see, we sinners sometimes water down God's word and dilute its message because we think that God's truth might cost us something. You see, sometimes we water down God's word to avoid hearing what it says about our sin. Let's face it, we all have certain ways of thinking and speaking and living that we don't necessarily want to give up. And it would be too costly to admit that we have sinned because then we'd have to give up certain things in our lives. So the temptation is to water down God's word and cover over our sins. This happens when we ignore what God's word says about such common sins such as gossip, lust, abortion, disobeying your parents, and substance abuse. And by substance abuse, I don't only mean the illegal drugs that harm our bodies in whatever amount we take them. I'm also talking about eating too much food, using too much tobacco, drinking too much alcohol, or drinking too much coffee and the caffeine and what that does to you. And of course, then, there are those evil attitudes like anger, hatred, greed, selfishness, and the list goes on. The point is, whenever we water down God's word in order to justify certain sins in our lives, we are guilty of great evil. However, on other occasions, we may be tempted to water down God's word to avoid hearing about our Savior. Now, why in the world would we want to avoid hearing about Jesus? Well, sometimes we would like to take a little bit of the credit for our salvation. We want to think that God will forgive us because we've cleaned up our act, we've changed our behavior, and we've done some good works. You know, even Christians who believe that Jesus died for their sins can fall into this trap of thinking that Jesus' sacrifice was good, but it was not quite enough, and that we can make up the difference ourselves and thereby take some of the credit for salvation. For example, sometimes we want God to notice how we avoid certain sinful behaviors while others are still doing them. We want God to notice the good things we do for the congregation and for the community while others seem to be inactive. Yes, we want God to compare us with other people and conclude that we are impressive examples of what it means to be good Christians who deserve to be saved. But we forget that this sinful attitude actually mocks God's grace and makes the sacrifice of Christ of little worth. I'm afraid we sinners are all guilty of watering down God's word, either to avoid facing our sin or to avoid the fact that our Savior did it all. But in the midst of our demented and delusional dilution of God's word, we hear a voice in the wilderness crying, prepare the way for the Lord. In our gospel reading from Mark, we heard about John the Baptist. Now, God chose John to prepare God's people for the coming of the Lord. And the Lord is none other than Jesus, the promised Christ, the Son of God. In fact, 800 years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah predicted the coming of John the Baptist and that he would prepare the way for the Lord. Here's how it happened. Isaiah spoke to God's people in the 8th century BC, and he warned them that if they did not repent, they would face God's punishment. However, God had revealed to Isaiah that his people would not repent, and so he also told Isaiah that in the future, he would send the nation of Babylon against his own people to bring them to repentance. However, in Isaiah chapter 40, which is where our reading is from today, in Isaiah 40, God moves Isaiah to write about a future time of comfort. This time is when God will rescue his people from Babylon and bring them back to the promised land. Now, God looks at this event in history and he uses it as a picture of an even greater salvation when the Lord himself will come down to rescue us from our Babylon, which is our sin against him. God would send John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness outside Jerusalem. And John would prepare the way for the Lord by preaching repentance. John's preaching would level the people's mountains of sinful pride, and through that same preaching, he would raise up these people from their valleys of despair. John's preaching of repentance removed the obstacles of sin and unbelief that prevented the Lord from entering the hearts and lives of his people. Now, eventually, John the Baptist was put in prison, as we heard in our gospel reading. He was put in prison because some people who had power did not like his sermons. But Jesus, the Lord, continued to preach. At the end of our gospel reading, Mark 1, verse 15, we hear these words of Jesus. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. There's that word repent again. What does it mean? Well, some people think repent means that we must change our behavior. Stop sinning and do some good things. But that's only a small part of it. You see, the original Greek word for repent is metanoeo, which actually means change the way you think. You see, God doesn't care about merely changing our behavior. God cares most about changing the way we believe. Why? Well, because you can change your behavior drastically and still be a lost sinner. For example, let's say you change your behavior out of fear of punishment, but you still have this attitude that God is a pesky dictator who simply keeps you from having fun. If that's your attitude, then you're lost. Or let's say that you change your behavior with the attitude that God will be impressed with your holy life and reward you accordingly. That, too, is a lost attitude. So when God says repent, he actually intends to change the way you think. That's why Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. And what is the good news? Here it is. Even though you are a sinner who deserves nothing but God's eternal damnation, God has given you Jesus, your Savior from sin, death, and eternal hell. In Christ you are forgiven and you have eternal life with God. And God wants you to believe that he loves you. And the proof of this love is that he was willing to put his own son on the cross in your place of judgment. My friends, this good news of Jesus and his love and mercy transforms our hearts and helps us to think of God in a new way. As sinners, we don't often think of God rightly. But then Jesus comes to us and he says, repent and believe the good news. In other words, when we're tempted to think of God as a pesky dictator who keeps us from having fun, Jesus says, repent, and changes the way we think about God. When we're tempted to think of God as somebody we have to impress or bribe with our good works before he will love us, Jesus says repent and changes the way we think about God. He wants us to see God as our Creator who, even though He has every right to damn us, loved us so much that He damned Himself in our place, that we might be His own. So when God says repent, He helps us to understand and believe that our sin against Him is our real problem and that we can do nothing to save ourselves from it. When God says repent, He humbles our mountains of self-righteousness. However, when God says repent, He also helps us understand and believe that Jesus is the Lord and He is our Savior, and that He has given Himself over to death and damnation for us so that we can receive God's comfort and be lifted up from our valleys of despair. Isaiah wrote about the good news in our Old Testament reading. Hear it again. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her sin has been paid for. My friends, your sin has been paid for. You can take comfort in the fact that Jesus has saved you. You are forgiven. Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. You see, when God exposes our sin and judges our rebellious lives, He's only doing this so that we might see our need for Jesus, our only Savior from the captivity of sin and death. This Jesus was born almost 2,000 years ago to save you from your sins. After Jesus' resurrection, He said He would return again soon. But it's been almost 2,000 years. Why is Jesus waiting so long? Well, we heard why in our epistle reading. Peter writes, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So we've been waiting 2,000 years for Jesus to return. Big deal. What's 2,000 years compared to eternity in either hell or heaven? My friends, God has used His Word to give you repentance. That's why you confess your sin. And remember that repentance is more than simply changing your behavior. Repentance is changing the way you think about God. Realizing that He's not a pesky dictator who's a killjoy. He's not a God who has to be manipulated and bribed. He is the God who loved us so much that He died on the cross for us that we might be His own. God has changed the way you think about Him. And that new way of thinking about God will also help you to change your behavior for the right reasons. In closing, during this season of Advent, we remember the first coming of Jesus as our Savior. However, during Advent, we also remember that Jesus will come again. He will raise us from the dead, and He will give us eternal life in a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. We heard about that in our epistle. But until that wonderful day, we have the privilege of living each and every moment remembering these words of Jesus. Repent and believe the good news. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.